Money. It's the Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's great to be back in the big chair after 2.5 weeks away. And big thanks to Dan Friedel and Steve Miller for hosting the show during my absence and keeping the Voice of America microphone hot and sporty. I tuned into their shows and they were entertaining, informative, and very, very exciting. And speaking of excitement, Madagascar is creating lots of excitement in its maiden appearance at the Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Egypt. The Indian Ocean Island team is making it a Nations Cup debut to remember after beating three-time African champion Nigeria 2-0 in Alexandria, Egypt. With the victory, Madagascar topped Group B with 7 points from 3 matches and advanced to the round of 16. The Super Eagles of Nigeria finished group play with 6 points, and they're also through to the last 16. Samson Omale has more on Madagascar's big victory. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. A catastrophic error from Super Eagles center back Leon Balogun and a sumptuous free kick from Carolus Andramahiti Sinyoro saw debutant Madagascar shock Nigeria 2-0 and finish top of Group B. The Islanders continued writing their beautiful story at the Total African Cup of Nations AFCON Egypt 2019, remaining unbeaten in the group stage marches to finish on 7 points. In his reactions shortly after the game ended, Super Eagles coach Gerald Ross said his side lost to a very good side.
And we miss this fighting spirit what showed us Madagascar. But you know, when a team is already qualified in the mind, they play, to win of course, but they don't have this volunteer, this desire what I saw in the Madagascar team. So congrats to Madagascar. The next game for us is more important.
With the defeat, Nigeria finished second and will meet the second place team from Group F in Alexandria next weekend. Elsewhere in Cairo, Guinea beat Burundi 2-0 in the other Group B clash. Guinea has 4 points and is hoping to finish as one of the 4 best third placed teams. In the late kickoff in Group A, host Egypt ended with maximum points after defeating Uganda 2-0 at the Cairo International Stadium on Sunday night, winning all 3 matches of their mini-league campaign. Meanwhile, Uganda qualified to the round of 16, finishing the group phase in second place, 1 point more than DR Congo, who defeated Zimbabwe 4-0. The Leopards will now wait to see if they can grab one of the 4 places for the third-placed teams. DR Congo thrumped Zimbabwe 4-0 in their final 2019 African Cup of Nations Group A match at the 30th June Stadium in Egypt on Sunday night. The victory saw the Leopards finish third on the group standings and they could advance the round of 16 if the results in other groups go their way, while the Warriors crashed out of the tournament after finishing fourth. Yusuf Mulumbu, DRC midfielder, was ecstatic over their victory against the Zimbabweans.
We lost the first two games and we put ourselves in a difficult situation, but we corrected today. It was a very important day today for us. It's Independence Day in Congo, so in front of our supporters, we really wanted to win. So we show determination and we fought until the end. And I'm very happy for the reaction of my teammate.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. For reaction to Madagascar's upset victory over Nigeria, We're joined now by Iron Mike Mbonye. Good evening, Iron Mike.
Good evening, Sonny. I'm in a public viewing center in a Lagos suburb called Gowon Estate. The Group B match between Nigeria and Madagascar has just ended, and I want to seek the reaction and views of some Nigerian football fans who watched the match. Madagascar beat Nigeria 2-0 to top Group B.
Yeah, my name is Julius. We play very bad. Play very, very bad. Very bad. I don't expect anything better, honestly. Play very, very bad.
Nigerians, those players, they need to buckle up. I was expecting something better. But I will advise them to buckle up. Sure, they have qualified, but they need to buckle up. If not, we have some hungry lions over there. So they need to buckle up and let them meet up to the expectations.
It's very, very bad. And though we expected the coach that we've qualified, he decided to experiment new players, even the keeper, the defensive line. The experiment between Balogun and Ekong was poor. So that's for the next match. We don't need that. He should be done with experimenting now. He should know his first 11, and that will give the team a better chance to qualify for the finals. My name is Ikechukwu Bikanzi.
I'm Okoro Nathaniel. For today's match, the Super Eagles let us down. I don't know. I suspect there's something wrong that we don't know about. Because their attack was lackadaisical. Their defense created the first goal. The midfield, there's a problem. In short, I strongly suspect there's something wrong with the team. It's only them that can sort it out. But if they continue like this, I'm not sure they're going to go very far.
We need to improve, yeah. But we try. But Madagascar is a team to watch in this tournament. I think they will go far the way they are playing. They will go very far. Nigeria said we need to improve in our next match. We need to work harder so that we can beat our opponent and go far in this tournament. That's what I just think. That we need to work. We need to train more and work harder for more games.
If looking clearly at the situation of the match throughout the duration, it has nothing to write home about. Nigerian team is merely a passerby in the field of play. The other side of it, you look at the Madagascar team. They are mobile. They have the zeal. They want to score.
You've been listening to some Nigerian football fans at a public viewing center near Lagos. And thanks to Iron Mike Mbonye for that audio sampling of their reactions. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. England will go against the defending champion United States Tuesday in the first semifinal at the Women's World Cup football tournament in France. The Netherlands will play Sweden in the second semifinal on Wednesday. Both matches will be played in Lyon, France. Joining us now with a preview from Paris is Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori.
The FIFA Women's World Cup enters the semi-final stage on Tuesday after last week's quarter-finals when England defeated Norway 3-0, USA beating host France 2-1, Netherlands defeating Italy 2-0, and Sweden beating Germany 2-1. After France's surprise defeat at Parc des Princes in Paris by USA, I had an interview with Belgian sports journalist of Ghanaian descent Dominique Quabla.
The game that surprised me a lot was France against US. But US didn't win the game on a silver platter. They really deserved to win that game because they gave all out. And you could see that the ladies were very fantastic, especially the captain Morgan. She knows how to organize the ladies on the pitch. She knows how to talk to them. And when the tough is going tough, she will tell them, calm down, let's go this way. And they really listen to her. And that paid a lot. But France, I wasn't surprised at all because they all gave out, they all gave up. But the most shocking game is Germany against Sweden. Germany were leading Sweden. They equalized. And everybody thought they were going to carry the day. But lucky eluded them. And Sweden went ahead and shot the second goal. They defended very well. And Germany was nowhere to be found. And they lost. At the end of the blast of the whistle, they lost by a goal to two. So it's not a surprise because both teams played very well and they did very well. None of the teams that have qualified into the semifinals was on a silver platter. Because if you watch the game, Skopna, I tell you, you cannot even believe that this is women. They were shooting from all angles. They were shooting from distance. They were taking very good free kicks. That was really incredible.
You know, I'm not interested in prediction.
Yeah.
I just wait to see what happens after the end of the day.
Yeah.
So let's say you are predicting USA and Netherlands
Netherlands, yeah, for the finals. Yeah.
And then England and Sweden
for the third place. But if England plays against Sweden in the third place, England will take the bronze.
So for the championship, the team to carry the day or to lift the trophy, USA.
Sure, USA, because they have the ladies to do the harm. Mm-hmm. Because they know each other very well. They play collective football. There's one system with them that I like very much. When the tough is going tough, you see all of them, they would descend into the defense. Mm-hmm. And they will all also go ahead to have a goal. So that makes their force. And the midfield, we don't talk about it because they can seize midfield at any given time. They can seize the midfield and do harm to the opponent. So I think US have the advantage. You know, I don't like at times predicting, but this time round I will stick my neck out and say US can carry the day.
That's Belgian sports journalist Dominique Quabla. And he spoke with Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori in Paris, France. I'm Sonny Young. And you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Still with the Women's World Cup, the Swedish ladies broke a 24-year jinx against Germany with that victory in the quarterfinals. Joining us with more details is Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. It was sweet revenge for the Swedes who had lost the Olympic final to the Germans in Rio de Janeiro in 2016. The blue and yellow came from behind to end Germany's hopes of a third Women's World Cup win by securing a 2-1 quarterfinal victory. Sofia Jakobsson and Steina Blackstenia scored in response to Lina Magul's opener for Germany to send the Swedes into a semi-final matchup against the Netherlands, who beat Italy 2-0 to reach a first ever semi-final at the tournament. Sunny, worlds will collide on Tuesday as the United States takes on England in the other semi-final matchup.
Prince, how about some standout player performances at the Women's World Cup?
Lucy Bronze's majestic performance enabled England cruise past the Norwegians in the quarterfinals. And on my part, she's actually a standout performer who arguably has got the best goal of the tournament so far. The stunner she scored against Norway in the quarterfinals. She's a special defender, so creative with the ability to influence the outcome of a match. Another player who stood out so far is Megan Rapinoe, who's a world-class player and has displayed brilliant performances with goal-scoring abilities. She's actually the talk of the tournament because of her consecutive two-goal performances in the knockout rounds and her activism. In short, she's a winner.
You're sort of on the stage, so I guess I'm looking at myself as a performer and trying to entertain, and we're always looking for good celebrations.
Furthermore, the American winger is also tied for the tournament's scoring lead with 5 goals, joining other standout performers, including teammate Alex Morgan, Australia's Sam Kerr, and England's Ellen White. Sweden's World Cup semi-final qualification has also been the talk of town. They should not be underestimated by any side in this competition due to their swift counter-attacking approach that destabilizes defenses. The top-notch defending abilities, chemistry and creativity should send shivers down the spine of any future rival. I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sunny.
Thanks, Prince. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The National Basketball Association's free agency period has opened with a big bang. The Brooklyn Nets landed superstar Kevin Durant, as we hear now from the AP's Tom Merriam.
Just moments after the NBA opened its free agency season, Kevin Durant, the biggest name on the market, announced he will be joining the Brooklyn Nets. The now former Golden State Warrior will sign a four-year contract reportedly worth more than $40 million a year. However, Durant is unlikely to play during the first year of that contract as he recovers from a torn Achilles tendon he suffered in Game 5 of the NBA Finals. Durant led the Warriors to NBA championships his first 2 years there and earned MVP honors in the finals both times. He brings to Brooklyn a career scoring average of 27 points a game. Tom Merriam, New York.
Thanks, Tom. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now is VOA intern and Brown Daily Herald sports writer Ryan Handel to give us his thoughts on a wild weekend in NBA free agency. Sporty greetings, Ryan.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Ryan, we just heard about the biggest news of NBA free agency. Former NBA MVP Kevin Durant is going to Brooklyn, New York, and the Nets. Can you give our VOA listeners a recap of the other major signings around the league?
Joining Durant in Brooklyn is arguably the second most coveted player of free agency, Kyrie Irving. There have been rumors going around for a long time that Durant would join forces with Irving in New York. But most people thought it would be in Madison Square Garden with the Knicks, and not the Barclays Center with the Nets. The Knicks have been left in the dust, while the Nets could now be an NBA title contender for years to come. The Nets also added former Knick DeAndre Jordan to an already formidable squad. Even with Durant likely taking this year off to rehab his Achilles injury, with a sharp-shooting point guard like Irving, the Nets will be a threat in the Eastern Conference next year. The one major loss for the Nets in free agency was D'Angelo Russell, a finalist for last year's NBA Most Improved Player. He's headed over to Golden State, which would help make life without Kevin Durant a little easier for the Warriors dynasty. Yet another big name on the move yesterday was Kemba Walker, who leaves the Charlotte Hornets to join the Boston Celtics and replace Kyrie Irving at point guard. And just recently, we found out that Jimmy Butler will join his fourth team in 4 years as the Philadelphia 76ers traded him to the Miami Heat. Sonny, these are just some of the star players changing teams in the past 24 hours. It's been a day of chaos around the NBA, and the landscape of the league is going to look a lot different next year.
Ryan, with all of their off-season additions, the Nets look like a team to reckon with. Why do you think Durant and Irving chose to go to Brooklyn and not to a more high-profile team?
Well, first off, Durant, Irving, and DeAndre Jordan are all close friends, and they'll have the opportunity to play together on an NBA team for the first time in Brooklyn. Secondly, as I mentioned, Durant and Irving appeared interested in going to the Knicks, but the Knicks didn't want to offer Durant a max contract. They were just too worried about the effects of Durant's Achilles injuries. The Nets, however, put their faith in Durant and bet their future on him. That allowed Brooklyn to land the top prize of the 2019 NBA free agent class and his friends Irving and Jordan. I don't think the lack of a storied basketball history or a huge fan base in Brooklyn played a big role in Durant or Irving's decision. Players like Giannis Antetokounmpo on the Milwaukee Bucks have proven that you can be a star in the NBA without playing for a big market team. And I think Durant and Irving knew that when they made their decision.
Ryan, one big name still on the NBA free agent market is NBA Finals Most Valuable Player Kawhi Leonard of the league champion Toronto Raptors. Where do you think Kawhi ends up next year?
There's got to be two main contenders to land Kawhi Leonard, the LA Clippers and the LA Lakers. Of course, Leonard could stay in Toronto, where he's the star of the city and a hero of the defending championship team. But I find that highly unlikely. Kawhi was born in Los Angeles, and in all likelihood, he's headed home. If Kawhi joins the Lakers, he'll be a huge favorite for another NBA title. But he could be the second or even third option with LeBron and Anthony Davis around. He could also suffer the same fate as Kevin Durant and become hated by NBA fans for jumping ship to form a super team. I think Kawhi will choose to remain a people's player and join a promising Clippers team instead. But as we've seen today, anything is possible in the NBA free agency.
Wow, lots of movement in the NBA, Ryan. Ryan, let's turn to mixed martial arts and the octagon, where an African fighter is making a name for himself as one of the top strikers in the world. Can you give our VOA MMA fans some details about this weekend's dramatic knockout involving the Cameroonian Francis Ngannou?
On Saturday night, the number two heavyweight contender in the UFC, Francis Ngannou, entered the octagon to take on number three contender, Brazilian Junior Dos Santos, in the main event of the evening. Dos Santos is a UFC veteran and a former heavyweight champion of the world, but Ngannou made him look like a rookie. Ngannou knocked out Dos Santos in just 71 seconds after an ill-advised swing by the Brazilian left him vulnerable to the Cameroonian's massive punching power. A few strikes later, Dos Santos was on the ground, and the fight had been called. The win puts Ngannou in position to fight for the NFC Heavyweight Championship in his next fight against either current champion Daniel Cormier or former champion Stipe Miocic. Miocic and Cormier fight in August. Ngannou will likely take on the winner.
Ryan, I've heard Ngannou has an interesting backstory. How did he get into fighting?
Well, Ngannou was born in Cameroon, and he lived in poverty his whole childhood. He actually didn't start any sort of fighting until age 22, when he took up boxing. Ngannou's father was a known street fighter in Cameroon, but Francis wanted to use his fighting skills for something good. At 26, Ngannou moved to Paris, France, with little other than the clothes on his back, to chase his dream of becoming a professional boxer. But while living homeless in Paris, he found a gym to train at for free, and was convinced to switch from boxing to mixed martial arts. Soon, Ngannou started working his way to the top of MMA, and within 6 years of his first ever fight, he has put himself in position to become heavyweight champion of the world.
Wow, quite an inspiration. One last question, Ryan. What do you consider Ngannou's biggest strength as a fighter?
As I mentioned, Ngannou has massive punching power. In fact, he was measured by the UFC as being the hardest punching fighter in UFC history. Ngannou has some grappling skills, with four of his wins coming via submission, but his greatest assets are his fists. If you take a hard punch from Ngannou, say goodnight.
All right, say goodnight. Well, thank you for that hard-hitting MMA report, Ryan. And be sure to catch some great fights next Saturday night at UFC 239, including two title bouts. That's VOA intern and Brown Daily Herald sports writer Ryan Handel. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Finally, in African athletics, South Africa's two-time Olympic champion Caster Semenya easily won the women's 800 meters on Sunday at the IAAF Prefontein Classic in Stanford, California. The victory in California came as Semenya continues to wonder about her future as an international court debates her future in the event, the 800 meters. Semenya, a three-time world champion, won in Stanford in a time of 1 minute, 55.70 seconds, nearly 3 seconds ahead of second place A.G. Wilson. Semenya's winning time was the fastest ever by a woman on American soil. This was the first time Caster Semenya ran the 800 meters since a Swiss Supreme Court ruled her eligible while it considers her appeal against the new IAAF rule capping testosterone levels in women's events from the 400 meters to the mile. And that wraps up the July 1st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hi, Dad. get it.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the newly elected Nigerian United Nations General Assembly President pledges to focus on peace and prosperity for the most vulnerable. Nigeria at the helm of the UNGA on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
The type of fungus we know as mold can be found in all types of environments, indoors, outdoors, and even in outer space at the International Space Station. It's been reported that ISS astronauts spend hours of time each week cleaning the space station's walls to keep mold from becoming a serious health issue. Scientists have found that mold spores can tolerate extreme temperatures, ultraviolet light, chemicals, and dry conditions. Now, new research presented at the American Geophysical Union's ABSCICON 2019 conference suggests that mold spores may also be able to survive exposure to ionizing radiation, such as X and gamma rays, at 200 times the dose that would kill a human. The research suggests that fungal spores should be considered in designing planetary protection protocols to prevent the contamination of planets and moons from visiting spacecraft. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is our moment. We are speaking out to end malaria.
This is DJ Drogba. Malaria is preventable and treatable.
Sleep under an insecticide-treated mosquito net every night. Go to a health center at the first sign of fever for testing and appropriate treatment.
Join me. United, we can beat malaria.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscast covering Africa news. Tune in on the top of each hour 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.
This is VOA News. I'm Faith Lapidus.